Ray Hederman Jr. is Executive Director of the Economics Research Center and Vice President of Policy at the Buckeye Institute. In this role, Hederman oversees Buckeye's research and policy output. Prior to joining Buckeye, he was director and founding member of the Center for Data Analysis, CDA, at the Heritage Foundation, where he served as the organization's top number cruncher. Under his leadership, the CDA provided state-of-the-art economic modeling, database products, and original studies. Now, there's a new report out from Buckeye. It is Net Zero Climate Control. Policies will fail the farm. So we're so glad to have Ray in the Economic War Room. Welcome, sir.
Thank you for having me, Kevin.
You know, you've got a great report. It encapsulates a lot of things that we talk about here in the Economic War Room. Higher food prices, World Economic Forum control, you know, the whole eat less meat and more bugs, and then the farmers revolting in Europe. So it's a powerful study. I got a preview of this report at a recent conference. We want to take a bad, good, beautiful approach. So we talk about the problem. Then, just like your report, you talk about some solutions. And then we'd love to talk about the beautiful future that we can have together if we follow the good recommendations and restore liberty to America. So let's start with the problem. What caused Buckeye Institute to pick up this paper on net zero climate control and the farm?
Well, you know, everybody pictures Ohio as a manufacturing state, but like many states, we have a robust agricultural sector. And we've looked at the policies that have come down from the Biden administration, and we realize this is going to impact a lot of our fellow Ohioans and fellow Americans in places you don't expect. And that's at the family dinner table. Quite simply, day one, his first day of office, President Biden rejoined the Paris Climate Accords, which forced his administration to start proposing a swath of new regulations that would hammer the agricultural sector by making every aspect of farming more expensive. And that's because farmers rely on cheap, affordable energy, natural gas, from everything from powering their tractors to making fertilizer. And when you make all farm costs more expensive, well, that means Americans are going to be paying more for food at their table.
If they can get the food, because a lot of farmers, if you make it too expensive, they just go out of business. They don't want to continue. So I've got here a farm operating expenses under ESG. And we talk about ESG all the time. It stands for environment, social, governance, but it really is a progressive grab bag of things, ideas that they've had that they want to force on the American people that the market wouldn't otherwise accept. Can you quantify, you're a data guy, quantify for us the difference in operating costs from what they are today to what they will be under ESG?
Yeah, what the top line is, the average farm, 750 acres of corn farm, will be paying about over a third more in operating cost each year because they're being forced to abide by these policies. That's $65,000 to farms. And the cost, increased costs come from the fact that fertilizer is going to be costing about 29% more. Because a lot of that will be banned from the fact that natural gas can no longer be used to produce fertilizer. We know, for example, that, you know, farmers have to use propane, you know, to dry out grain crops so they can get to the table. So the farming industry, you know, not everybody can farm. You know, it's a very technical, it's very complicated. And unfortunately, a lot of the methods that modern farmers use to produce the crops that we enjoy are going to be either more expensive, if not outright banned, under a lot of these regulations that are going to happen under ESG and net zero policies.
You know, I've seen the studies. Free market capitalism brought down poverty to the lowest level it's ever been in history. Well, it uses energy to accomplish that. And essentially, these ESG policies are eliminating energy. You know, so you can't make fertilizer out of solar cells. So I look here, you've got a chart, it says the operating cost, and you mentioned it, $192,000 are the current cost for the average farm versus $257,000. That could put some farmers out of business.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, the concern has to be, if you're the typical American family farm, you know, you think back, you know, to Farm Aid, you know, you had country singers talking about defending the American way of life. These are the farms that are going to be really pressured because they're going to have their everyday cost of simply farming going up. And then we also have indirect costs that the farmer is going to have a harder time having to fill out all these forms and regulations. And if you're a family farmer, you know how to dry your crops, you know how to milk your cows. Filling out, the ESG compliance forms, well, that's something you may have to hire another accountant. So you're going to lose time being able to spend with your wife and children. So, the consequence that we see is not only is food going to cost more for American families, but you're going to see a lot of these family farms sell out, give up their way of life, sell out to big companies, and simply go out of business.
So what will the cost be in grocery bills? You've quantified that as well.
Yes. So we took the staples of how much does the American family spend, and we found that it's going to cost about $1,300 annually or 15% more each year. And Kevin, families have been shocked at how much grocery prices have gone up in just the last couple of years. You're sitting there saying, milk has gone up, eggs have gone up. The price that we find in this report is on top of the inflation that's going up. And because we know that certain farming practices are more under the gun, farm prices are going to go up differently for beef, for example, which will almost double per pound. The price of butter is going to go up by about 25% because we know that those farming practices are going to be more adversely affected under the net zero regulations.
No, it's an incredibly thorough report. You've got a list of price increases of U.S. groceries. American cheese up 78%, sugar up 43%, pork up 28%, spaghetti 13%, chicken 39%, bread 7%, butter 24%. I mean, this kind of price increase on top of what we've already had to go through from the excessive inflation that's been created, that's devastating to an American family.
Yeah, absolutely. And so what we've seen is what is this going to take the place of? And so we found is that families are going to have to give up. That's basically equivalent of a mortgage payment. That's equivalent to a year's worth of gasoline. So families are going to have to sit and make hard choices of how they're not going to be spending their money. Maybe they can't take a vacation. Maybe they can't save more for retirement. Maybe their kids have to go another year without new clothes. These are the type of choices that are being faced every day by American consumers because the policies are coming out of Washington. Fewer farms, higher food prices, and Kevin, quite frankly, it wouldn't surprise us that some farm crops are simply unavailable because farmers can no longer produce them at the prices people can pay.
Yeah, there's no question about that. And this isn't conjecture. You talk about, and when we come back from the break, I want you to talk about Sri Lanka, because they've actually experienced this. So this isn't just, well, we're projecting this might happen or whatever. We've seen a real world example around the world where they've adopted all the same policies we're adopting and the net impact on food prices and farmers. So when we come back from the break, tell us about Sri Lanka. We're speaking with Ray Hederman from the Buckeye Institute. They've got an incredible report out. Net zero climate control policies will fail the farm. He just scared me silly because he showed how much prices are going to go up. Farmers may be going out of business. The consumers strapped even further with bad food inflation. And it's not conjecture. This has actually happened somewhere in the world. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so a few years ago, Sri Lanka said, we're going to abide by these net zero policies. And so they outlawed nitrogen fertilizer. Well, where does nitrogen fertilizer come from? In most manufacturing countries, it comes from natural gas. The hydrogen from natural gas is used to produce the fertilizer. So when Sri Lanka got rid of nitrogen fertilizer, the crop yields plummeted. And so as a consequence, we have seen Sri Lankan food prices double. We've seen shortages of food in Sri Lanka, and we've seen the number of people, families in Sri Lanka simply go hungry because there's not enough food going up. Farmers use fertilizer to increase crop yield, and more abundant food means people aren't going hungry. And so when you're outlawing efficient farming practices that we've seen, the consequence is there's less food available. And Kevin, one other note, it's not just Sri Lanka we can look at. We can look at Europe. Europe has enacted similar of these policies on net zero. They've closed about 70% of nitrogen fertilizer factories. And as a consequence, farming practices have gone up about 50% and food prices have gone up 42%. So I think our report is taking a look at what could happen in America given the examples we see in the rest of the world.
And you see it very dramatically. You've got some great charts in the report. You see in Sri Lanka, they're, you know, up to 2022, prices are very stable, and then boom, they adopt these policies and they ramp up very quickly. Same thing with Europe, and you see in electricity prices, which are essential, you have to have electricity, the carbon price of the input and output prices. So when they put the inputs and the outputs, both of them going in tandem, I mean, they're highly correlated. There's no question that this is the cause of this.
No, absolutely not. And so you take a look again, how many fertilizer plants have closed in Europe? And that's one of the reasons farmers in Europe are so upset, because the prices have gotten so high. They don't have access to the fertilizer. They can't produce the crops they need to sustain a living. The other thing that we're seeing in Europe right now, quite frankly, is eminent domain, where government's saying to make sure that we're hitting our target emissions under net zero in the Paris Climate Accords, which the Biden administration had the United States rejoin. You have governments in Europe saying, we're going to take over family farms, we're going to euthanize dairy herds to reduce methane emissions. And these are the type of policies it takes to make the Green New Deal agenda that we're seeing promulgated in D.C. today.
Yeah, my father's aunt and uncle had a dairy farm in Oklahoma, and I couldn't imagine the government coming in and we're going to kill a bunch of your cows. We're just going to wipe them out. It would have destroyed their ability to farm. It would have, all the economics would have changed dramatically. It would have reduced the supply of milk. But that's, you know, the cynic in me says that's actually some of the purpose, so that they can drive everybody to big food and no local farming.
Well, that's absolutely, you know, a point that we make in this paper, right? You know, the fact is that the Netherlands has said we're going to spend $1 billion taking over farms, dairy farms. We have stories coming out of Ireland that they were going to euthanize, kill over 1 million cows to hit that. And we've seen a lot of outcry. I mean, you think about Ireland, you know, known for beer and Kerrybold butter and Irish cheese, you know, and all of a sudden they're saying, well, we're going to get rid of one of our main staples of agriculture. That just shows a lot of really the type of sacrifices people must make to hit these mandated targets coming from government. And it's just shocking, I think, when people think about how their lifestyle is going to change, fewer family farms, paying more at the food table, and having to probably switch and substitute away from goods like beef, you know, to alternatives. And that's what we've unfortunately seen in a lot of other countries, that people simply don't have access to the food they desire.
No, and that's no question. And it's coming from the nanny state top down. The idea that I know better than you. I mean, this is the same government that told us salt was bad, then salt was good, then coffee was bad, then coffee was good. Hey, let the free market make the choices. That's what reduced poverty. But this top-down mandated government control is going to create poverty, and it's going to destroy our diets. And so I love the report that you go in and quantify, for example, the carbon price of fertilizer and grain drying. So explain how that impacts what we eat.
Yeah, sure. So fertilizer is one of the main inputs that farmers use. Nitrogen fertilizer is used mostly for corn, the predominant food staple here in the United States. And so when you're sitting there and you're saying natural gas, we're not going to drill as much. We're going to regulate how much natural gas that can be produced. We're even going to shut down some factories. The consequence is fertilizer costs jump dramatically. As I said, you know, we estimate fertilizer going up 29%. Other estimates, including the World Economic Forum, said fertilizer prices are going to increase by over a quarter due to net zero policies. And again, we've seen so many fertilizer plants shut down in Europe that Europe is now investing in the United States, bringing fertilizer back. Then now they're putting tariffs on it. That has a huge impact on how a farmer can produce his crops and how many crops he can raise per acre. The other aspect, again, is grain drying, you know, because you need your grains dried so they can be easily transported or converted to feedstock. Propane is the primary way that farmers are used to dry their crops. And again, you're putting higher prices, higher costs on fossil fuels. That means grain drying is increasing dramatically. That all adds up to $65,000 more per farm. Operating costs, again, up over a third. And farmers are going to pass on so much of that cost to the families, to the tables, because, you know, they can't simply eat this cost themselves. We know from economics, right, that, you know, when you're driving on up inputs on a producer, that cost will get passed on to the end consumer, and that means American families pay more.
No question. And you've got diesel price increases, carbon price increases, all these things impact farmers. But this really dumb part about this, and I use that word not lightly, it absolutely fits here, is that we have been reducing our carbon emissions in the United States, and yet now we're going to starve the farmers and starve the people from the feedstocks that they need and everything that they need, and we're going to be removing food from the supply when we're already meeting the climate initiative guidelines.
That's absolutely right, Kevin. We've seen the United States, because we've been able to switch to natural gas, a cleaner fuel source, we've been able to sit there and reduce our carbon gases we've been emitted while maintaining a decently strong economy with a way of life. And the problem is, when the government starts interfering with markets like that, that has a lot of negative downstream consequences for American people.
Yeah, well, we're going to need to take another break. When we come back, we'll finish, wrap up on this, and then we'll talk about what we ought to do about it, because you've got some incredible solutions in the Net Zero Climate Report. We'll come back, we'll talk solutions. We've been talking with Ray from the Buckeye Institute about the fact that farmers' costs will go up 32%. They've got all the data. They support it in their new paper that's out. If we adopt all of these new rules that the Biden administration is pushing, and the families' grocery bills will go up $1,300 a year on top of all the other inflation that we're already seeing. So here's my question. Do we need these draconian climate policies? Is that what we have to do to save the planet? Or maybe this is just bureaucracy run amok?
No, I think it's bureaucracy money run amok, because if you take a look at our emissions, they are going down while the economy is growing. And so our current solution is working. We're seeing people voluntarily making choices that they want to do to protect the environment. You know, and farmers consider themselves a lot of times stewards of the earth. So they want to adopt practices that takes care of the land, because if they make their land less productive, they harm their land. That means they're going to produce fewer crops the following year, and they're going to be hurting their own income. So farmers have every incentive to take care of the soil, to take care of the water, and make sure that we have good air.
Yeah, and there's no question. And I think that the climate science is not settled, despite what we've been told. You know, and there's a lot of flaws in the data. For example, the heat island effect and so many other things. Are we warming? Are we not warming? But they're just cramming it down our throats, even when the data doesn't seem to support it. But one thing that I think is settled, if you make it harder for farmers to produce food, prices will go up. If you take away fertilizer, you'll have lower yields in your crops. Those things just seem obvious and true.
Yes, absolutely. And Kevin, those are the direct costs. And I know you've done a great job pointing out the harms of the ESG movement. And I think one of the things we talk about in the report is how ESG is impacting the way farmers can get access to bank loans, get access to credit. That's kind of the indirect approach, because now farmers are having to report what their emission standards are, right? And so when farmers are getting a bad ESG score under some of these rules, that means they're not going to be able to replace farm equipment. That means they're not going to have access to seeds. That's one of the reasons you'll see in the report beef prices cost more than other types of grain crops, because these lower ESG scores are going to impact the farmer's ability to do their job, to be able to harvest, to be able to take care of their animals. And that, I think, is a pernicious innovation we've seen coming out of government that's been affecting everything from retirement portfolios to investment decisions by state politicians. And now we're seeing it's going to impact how we score farmers and how they're doing.
You could actually describe this as an economic war by government and world governments on the farmer and farms.
Absolutely. I mean, in American agriculture is still an important part of the American economy. We export hundreds of billions of dollars of farm goods around the world. And I think, you know, higher prices here in the United States is alarming, but just as alarming is what I think is going to happen to countries that don't have as strong as a rich agriculture sector. Are we going to see more countries like Sri Lanka that are going to struggle to feed their family because they're not going to be able to have the food, much less be able to pay for it?
Yeah, and the irony of all this is that will be worse for the environment. People may, we need to have more children, we need to burn coal, we need to do all sorts of things to respond. So the environmental effect is likely to be negative at the same time that we hurt people. So there are seven different recommendations that I pulled. One of them is withdraw from the Paris Climate Accords. I think that's pretty obvious. Two, revoke as much of the IRA's net zero funding and tax credits as possible. Explain that one.
Sure. You know, when the Biden administration passed, you know, their so-called a poorly named Inflation Reduction Act, they knew that this was going to have a big impact on farmers. So they threw $43 billion of subsidies into the Department of Agriculture to try to entice farmers, you know, to be able to adopt these policies. You know, I think a lot about, you know, Ronald Reagan, you know, when government sees that great quote, you know, when government sees something, you know, taxes, if it doesn't work, regulate it. And then if you kill it, then subsidize it. That's a lot of what's going on right now is you're jacking up prices on agriculture. So you're trying to throw government subsidies. We know the end result is higher inflation, again, higher prices on American families, higher taxes to pay for it. We should get rid of those subsidies. We don't need to move forward in that direction. Let the market work, save taxpayers money, and have the federal government stop spending.
Yeah, no. And what you're talking about is if we don't do that, we'll have socialized farms, big farm, big corporations, and the government owning everything. Okay, number three, this is obvious. Congress must build bipartisan anti-ESG coalition. I believe in that. Then you said number four, proactive and targeted ESG bans. We're totally in agreement with that. Number five, pass laws preventing ideological ESG investment and lending. We've talked about that a little bit. Number six, corporate and shareholder response to ESG metrics. Explain this one.
Yeah, so, you know, what we're looking at right now is that there's a great quote that came out that basically said, cows are the new coal, from an ESG fund manager, right? And so basically saying we're going to look and evaluate cows and score them as being poorly as we did coal a few years ago. So there's a lot of concern, I think, at the lens that a lot of these companies are looking at, where they're tipping the scale against certain types of farming prices and really endangering what I think is a staple of the American economy and the food that we eat.
Number seven, promote good, affordable farming practices at the local level. Describe that one.
Yeah, well, you know, farmers right now are always willing to be innovative in the crops that they grow. And so we want to make sure is that there's incentives in place that farmers know, for example, if they want to go to no-till, for example, a slightly more organic, less impact on their land, they know how to do that. Education is a better policy than government mandates. And we believe that farms are kind of the heartland of communities. And so farming practices that work best in Ohio may not work as well in Southwest Texas. And so we need to make sure that standards are adopted state by state, community, instead of this national one size fits all, where everybody is simply not an Iowa or Nebraska corn farm.
Yeah, if you show good practices and it will lower the cost of farming, increase the yield, it will lower prices to consumers. Education is the answer, and free market choice is the answer. So I love the conclusion of your report. It says government climate control policies ensconced in the Paris Climate Accords, the Inflation Reduction Act, and ESG-guided mandates carry a hefty price tag. We just need to educate Americans, and you've done that in this fabulous report. So I love what you're doing here. Congratulations to the Buckeye Institute for bringing this out. I'm so grateful. Where can people learn more about the Buckeye Institute?
You need to come to our website, BuckeyeInstitute.org, named after the Ohio State Buckeyes, proud representatives here in Columbus, Ohio.
This is a great organization. It's something you ought to be supporting. They're bringing real information. Thank you, Ray, for being here. We're going to summarize all this in our free economic battle plan. You can get your copy at economicwarroom.com. Remember, what we see as a marketplace, our enemies view as a battle space. This is Kevin Freeman from the Economic War Room.